This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
There's something strange about Christmas music. Sometimes it only takes a second, a sound, a tiny musical cue, and suddenly we're thinking tinsel, family, memories, and that end of year feeling. So why does music have that power over us, and why these songs again and again?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
Can you, and look, I've got to, I'm going to reveal my ignorance here. Can you explain the Whamageddon thing to me, please? Because every time I play it, I get accused of breaking it. Tell us, please.
Yeah, it's basically an online game. It started in the mid-2000s, and I think it was somewhere in Scandinavia where some friends got super sick of hearing this song all the time. So the game is basically you've got to get through the month from the start of December until the end without hearing that song. If you hear it, you've been whammed, right, and you're supposed to go on social media and announce that you've been eliminated and that you're no longer, you know, in the game. It's basically like being tagged, but the tag is having heard that song.
Someone said to me earlier that they hopped in the car, listened to Joy Drive last week. It was playing and they couldn't, it was too late. The game was over for them.
Yeah, and so people who are in on it, or at least radio hosts who are in on this game, are supposed to announce coming up their mic. Not that it's not like a rule or anything that you've broken. The Australian Media Authority aren't going to clamp down on you, but there has been a bit of a courtesy for people playing. But again, you could argue, is that not the danger if you are playing? Yes. Why would you be listening to, you know, radio going into shops where they're going to be playing, you know, Christmas music? Because the highly likelihood is you're going to hear that song.
Absolutely. You've got to live on the edge if you're playing these games.
Live on the edge.
Now, let's talk about Christmas songs. When we hear the opening notes of certain Christmas songs, it feels instant, doesn't it? What's actually happening at that moment?
Yeah. So The Conversation published some research from a musicologist who analysed a whole bunch of Christmas, you know, Christmas songs throughout the years, and identified themes, you know, in what makes a Christmas film sound to our ears Christmassy. And the big ticket thing is sleigh bells. And sleigh bells do appear in non-Christmas songs. I did some research on this earlier today. You know, everyone from the Beach Boys to the Beatles to Radiohead have used sleigh bells. But sleigh bells in Christmas songs, particularly modern ones, seem to be a shortcut to getting our brains, the listeners' brains, to think Christmas. That sound, particularly when there's some other things in the song, Christmassy, you know, references, etc., we think that's a sound that we associate with December.
Well, sleigh bells itself, I mean, the concept comes from Santa's sleigh, doesn't it? And they're the bells on it. What are they? You know, we put bells on cats to scare away birds. Why do they have bells?
Yeah, and they were, I think it's a reference sometime in the 19th century, they were attached to horses as a sort of safety measure when they're walking through the snow to warn people. Oh. And because of, again, so many of our Christmas references come from the Northern Hemisphere. Obviously, if there are horses in the snow in Australia at this time of year, something odd has happened weather-wise. But that's not an odd occurrence. Increasingly, it's less common that you'd have horses walking around, but was once upon a time quite a common occurrence that there would be horses at that time of year. They would have those bells, and they're the connotations of a sort of Christmassy mood, which is part of that reason as well. Even in Australia, so many Christmas cards and cookie tins and all the rest have scenes of snowy villages because there's something about that iconography that makes us think, oh, that's what Christmas is.
It's almost as though it's so far removed from what it's like here that it, you know, makes us associate it with Christmas. I mean, that's what I think. I look at it and I think, that's not what it's like here at all. So it makes me think that Christmas is sort of a bit of a, you know, there's a commercial side to it. There's something distant, something removed about it.
Yeah, well, and this is one of those explanations as well as to, you know, there's many explanations as to why people feel things don't feel Christmassy, but particularly for Australians, we've grown up on a pop culture diet of Christmas looking a really specific way, and it's not reflective of the Christmases that we celebrate. And partly that's got to do with weather, food, aesthetics, and that idea of snowiness doesn't work here, and yet we see it constantly, and that means that we feel that we're missing something here. And Australians will often say, you know, I want to spend a Christmas in the snow because it feels more real to some people.
Now, the bells, they show up in everything, don't they? You've got Mariah Carey, you've got Band-Aid.
Yep.
There's also a lot of new songs that are released. For example, you know, we've had Sophie Ellis-Bextor this year. There's no jingle bells or anything in that. Why is it that many of the traditional songs have a certain sound and a lot of the new ones sound like the traditional songs, yet something like Sophie Ellis-Bextor and her new one sounds completely different? It could be, you know, just a single record.
Yeah, so there are reasons as to why people try and emulate a sound from the past or even a look from the past. And that's because they're trying to do a shortcut to classic, right? They're trying to be associated with the standards. And a lot of the standards, when we think of the standards in music, we're thinking of 1940s and 1950s great American songbook type stuff. This is very jazz standards. This is crooners. There's a kind of sense when you hear that music. Michael Bublé stuff basically is the modern version of that. He does a lot of covers, but it's that type of sound. So when artists are trying to release a Christmas film now, today, they often, not always, but often try and emulate that sound from the past because it feels like it's a shortcut to people's acceptance, you know, their willingness to allow in this newcomer because it sounds like the stuff we're already listening to at this time of year, as opposed to something that is completely different, which I think will sound too new to listeners and may feel a little bit jarring compared to the traditional stuff of what we're listening to.
Do you reckon the Christmas music works differently for people who perhaps have a, you know, a complicated feelings about the season?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think there's a sense as well that some of this music creates a sense of melancholy. I remember I was writing about Christmas and I was living in the United States and I was in a shopping centre and I heard Christmas music and it was mid-November, Warren. I can't, A, I'm not standing for that, but B, I couldn't work out why I was starting to feel melancholic, and because I wasn't registering that I could hear the Christmas music. But obviously on some level I could. And there was that sense of almost a little bit of sadness. And it was because, again, that music has that connotation for a lot of people. It's not that the season is necessarily altogether sad for me. It's just that, A, I don't want to listen to it out of context. So November is absolutely out of context. And at that time I was away from home as well. And I'd also overdosed on Christmas films because I'd been writing a book. So I had had just a gutful.
Wait till you see the Easter eggs next week.
Look, I think this is the perfect illustration of capitalism at play, right? Every year we'll have someone on social media complain, how come there are hot cross buns in the stores on the 26th of December? And my response is, Woolworths and Coles do not bake hot cross buns to throw them in the rubbish bin. Okay, it doesn't work like that. They're baking them because people are buying them. And that's the end of the story. If you're truly opposed to the existence of hot cross buns in the stores in December, you just have to stop buying them. I don't want to hear about this.
I stopped buying
them. Same as all that chocolate. What, 4 months worth of chocolate? You can't store that in an Australian summer in the cupboard in preparation for an April Easter.
Exactly.
Oh, no, they know you're eating it. Exactly. So you have to buy the eggs 3 times. That is capitalism.
Do you know what? That's what we can talk about next year is what it is about Easter egg chocolate that tastes different and why even when we know it's crap we still buy it and eat it. Well, some of us
this is true. There is something about it, isn't it? And I think it's the thinness is part of the story. Anything that's presented, I mean, certain chocolate brands do this, anything that's presented in a thinner way has a tendency to have a nicer mouthfeel when it melts.
Oh,
even if it's lesser quality. Exactly.
I love it. Lauren, you have to make a decision now. Do I play Mariah Carey or some other Christmas song that you pick?
You know I want to listen to Bublé, but obviously do not. But last week we were talking about the Pretenders and I couldn't remember the Christmas song that they have. And you mentioned it was Him to Her and I knew it wasn't that. It's 2,000 Miles. It will make me cry though, so I can't stick around to listen.
I started playing it. Lauren Rosewarne, before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us this year. You show up every
week.
Oh,
thank you for having me.
We love it.
I look forward to talking next week. Next year. Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren. That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.